Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Get Healthy Now with Denise Thompson, founder and CEO of Miracle Night. I am an educator, author, speaker, nurse, and very passionate about healthy living. Today we're going to have a special host on the air with us. And her name is Sherry Haynes McGee. There is so much to tell about her, and I'm going to start with her biography and hope she's going to be on in just a minute. She is actually a retired registered nurse, has a BS, a Bachelor's in Science from San Diego State University. Sherry took special courses on head injuries at Columbia University, as well as courses on grief and counseling, or grief counseling. She was a Navy brat since her dad was in the Navy. She's a Navy wife. She lived in Newfoundland, Argentina, and Japan, and has been to all 50 states. Sherry is the mother of four and grandmother to seven. Her wonderful husband, Jim, and she have been married for 34 years. Sherry says that he is her best friend, lover, soulmate, and caretaker, and now, today, she is legally blind from diabetes. So, let me just see if my guest is on. Sherry, are you here? Sherry, can you hear me? Hello? Can you hear me? Are you here, Sherry?
Hello?
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 Can you hear me now? Oops. Okay. Let's see if this works. Hold time zero. I'm trying. Sherry, can you hear me? Hello, can you hear me? Are you there, Sherry? Can you hear me? Hello? Let me see. Okay. This
Hello,
is not
Denise?
Working. Oh, now I got you. I hope you're staying on. Are you there?
I'm right here.
Okay, wonderful. Sometimes we have some technical difficulties, and that was one of them, but we've overcome it. So great. Welcome to my show today. And I just gave the listeners a little bit of your bio, that you're a retired registered nurse, where you got your education from, what you've done, and that actually, as of now, you're considered legally blind from diabetes. How does that make you feel?
Well, first let me say hi, Denise, and thanks for having me on your show. How does being blind make me feel? Angry?
Yes.
That's the first response I had. And then denial is can't be happening to me. You know, all the steps of grief, per se, that anyone would experience with any kind of loss.
That is so profound. Wow. All right. Well, I have found out from you, actually, that you are writing some books. And how are you writing some books? How can you do that with a challenge? And what kind of books are you writing? Because we want to give the listeners some thumbs up that they, too, can be very productive, just like you are. You're still leading a really pretty darn good life, according to what I know. So why don't you share with our listeners what kind of books you write and how you actually do that process?
Well, I use different techniques. I either dictate or use my husband to write things down. I use audio equipment that will write down what my thoughts are. But, you know, there's a way to meet any challenge that you have if you have a desire to accomplish something. When I became blind and realized I could not do nursing anymore, I couldn't drive anymore, I couldn't be independent as I had been, I decided that I needed to do something with my life, that I had a purpose here, and I had to figure out what that was. When we lost some young people in my area, three actually in a very short time, I was profoundly moved by the grief of the community. I saw people of different religions, different backgrounds, holding hands and praying. I saw them experience the loss easier by helping each other. And I felt, as a grief counselor, which I have been, I decided that maybe writing my first book, I could help with that. When I wrote that book, then I felt that there were other things I wanted to share, and so I got involved and started writing. I've written 11 books so far.
So wow.
I've been a busy lady.
That is so awesome. And you just mentioned a few really, really important points, one of which is find the why, the purpose in your life, so you can still give your best, do your best, and be your best each and every day and share with others and educate them. And as a grief counselor, I am positive there's a lot of information that you can share with others. And you actually already gave me the answer to the next question I have, which is, what was your first book you wrote, and what was the motivation behind it? So you did say some, but can you please elaborate on it a little bit more?
Sure. My first book was Days in the Desert. I picked that name from the Bible when Jesus went to the desert for 40 days and experienced, a time of soul searching. I lived in Arizona for a time, so I knew the desert, per se. And when I decided to share about grief, I thought, what better way of showing that we've all gone through deserts in our lives and that we need to get past that and look at what's not seen in the future. You know, I had to see myself healed and happy and healthy and strong and blessed and delivered and redeemed. I say that vision makes you see, but faith makes you move.
Can you repeat that last statement? Because that is so good. I want everybody to hear that.
Vision makes you see, but faith makes you move.
Whoa. It is true, though. I have been experiencing some things myself, as you know, and I can only say amen to your statement there. All right. Whoa, that gives me the shivers. how do you come up with the ideas of what to write? I mean, you've written 11 books. None of it is the same as the first one. So how have you come up with the ideas of what to write?
Well, I feel that I picked topics that I wanted to learn more about, and that I felt drawn to explore because of personal experiences or education, such as hidden diseases. There's so many out there, fibromyalgia, diabetes, blindness, PTSD. These are things that people are experiencing but aren't visible to the world. And so I wrote a book about that. Phobias, what makes us afraid and why? You know, why do we allow that fear to overtake our lives? Fertility issues, and I had my own, so I needed to explore what's out there now for those that are experiencing the inability to get pregnant or have a family that they want to build. So those are a couple of the reasons or books that I have written.
Whoa. I mean, I know I've read at least two or three of your books so far, and I'm going to read all the others too. besides everything else that I'm reading and working on. But they are such an inspiration that I, when I start reading it, I can't really put it down. I have to read till my eyes shut and I'm kind of knocked out so I can sleep, because they are so attention grabbing down to the soul, to the deepest part of your soul. And I am just so blessed to have you as a friend, as a personal friend, and to know you for who you are and what you do. And your why is absolutely amazing. And I can only say, I hope that the audience will see that when they hear more from you and about you, and when they get to start reading your books.
Well,
so,
you know, we've been friends for, what, going on 16 years, and you've been a blessing in my life, because there have been days I've been really down, and you have always had the words to keep me going. So I want you to know how much I appreciate that.
Thank you so much. I think it's kind of reciprocal, because you always uplifted me when I was down. So that's actually what friends are for, don't you think so?
Definitely. And it's important to have good ones like you.
And like you. Thank you. All right. Let me ask you another question here. Okay. So you said, did you actually answer that? How did you come up with the ideas of what to write? You just go by instinct, what's on your heart, or how do you decide that?
Yeah, mostly. I've had some give me ideas, such as one of my books talks about folk tales and old wives' tales, sayings, and how much that affects the way we live our lives. So I delved into a lot of different things and explored where it came from and why it has impact on us. And the name of that book is My Mom Told Me That. And that's the truth, because we believe it because it came from someone we love and trust. So, you know, that's not always the best way to do things. So that gives you an idea. I believe that attitude is really important in the way you deal with things, and knowledge influences our attitude. You know, attitude is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you treat it or what you do about it. So that's my motive in life.
Wow. Attitude is 10% of what you do with it and 90% of what?
No, it's 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react or what you do about it. Yeah.
Wow. I'm so glad you can give me that information, because, I mean, we always have excuses for everything. We find an excuse if it's not a straight, downright, solid reason. It's an excuse in my book, because I've been learning so much lately that I can admit when I'm making excuses. And sometimes I even hear it when I say it and I go, oops, cancel, delete. I'm going to rephrase that.
Mm-hmm.
So, because attitude is one of the most important things. I don't know if you ever got that email that was like a crossword puzzle, and it said, which of the following words scores 100%, and each letter had a value to it. And the only word amongst all the words that we had in that email that scored 100 points or 100% was attitude. And I still remember that part. I don't remember all the other words, but I remember that attitude is definitely of utmost importance. All right. Now, I knew you had 10 books out. You just said you have 11 books out. So what book are you working on now, or what did you just publish?
Well, I'm writing one right now, and matter of fact, almost finished with it, and it's called A Legacy That Lasts. And all of us want to leave a legacy in this world, but it doesn't have to be monetary. And I talk about, what did your grandma know that you don't know? You know, things that they can share, family history, family heirlooms, talk about, you know, there's more to life than the money that you might pass down to your family. So that's the one I'm working on right now.
So cool. just yesterday on TV, there was, oh, it was with Dolly Parton. She just celebrated her 50th wedding anniversary. And when she grew up, there were about 7 children or so, and they were pretty poor. But their mother always said, "We are so rich. We love each other. We do have food on the table. We do have clothes on our back. We do have this. We do have that. We have the love. We have..." And she went on and on and on. And you could see in the audience, it was on Hallmark with, what's it called? I just escaped me, but it was in Hallmark with the two, Mike and the lady, Ferreira, that have that show every day. And the whole audience just gasped and said, "Oh my gosh, I need to change my attitude. I am rich. I have everything Dolly Parton just said. I just don't have the money, but who cares? Because money does not really bless you. It's what you do with it that can bless you or not." So you hit that one right on the head. Awesome.
I'm gonna share a passage, if I can, from one of my books. And
please do.
Okay, and it's about attitude, since we were just talking about that. It says, "I create the climate. My daily mood makes the weather. I can make life joyous or miserable. I can be a tool of torture or an instrument of inspiration. I'm not afraid because of my faith, my family support, and my attitude."
Whoa. That is so powerful. That's out of which book?
The one we're talking, one most today, is "I Once Was Blind."
Okay. Whoa, that is
so amazing.
And
that's my journey into blindness. So it talks about how going into blindness has affected me, my family, and my faith. And really had to take a long look at that. So that's where that came from.
Are you open to elaborate a little bit more on this, on how it affected you, your faith, and maybe your family?
Well, sure. I think that the
just what you feel comfortable,
itself,
okay? Yeah.
I'm sorry?
I said just what you feel comfortable about.
Okay. I think that you need to understand that blindness causes all kinds of feelings, a lot of distress when it first starts. You have to realize that your self-esteem's knocked down, that you feel broken, that you feel like you're an outsider, that, you know, your physical integrity is challenged. You lose confidence. You lose the reality that was yours. You know, I was a unit supervisor at a hospital, and when I was first diagnosed, I'll be honest with you, I was told in 6 months I'd be totally blind, and that was 12 years ago. And I believe wholeheartedly that God has promised me He'll never put me in total darkness as long as I have faith in Him. And, you know, seeing a little bit is more than I expected at this point, and I am blessed, and that's an attitude. So, but, you know, you have to understand that losing visual background, I can see people and objects moving, but suddenly somebody will appear out of nowhere because I don't see them on my side vision, and it's frightening. It's funny because my husband and my son are trained that they walk on my left side because that's the side I can't see, and if I know they're there, I feel confident. So that's... You know, that's another thing that goes on. You know, they know to tell me that there's a step coming up or going down, and that's just an automatic with us after all these years together. But you when you lose sight, you lose the perception of light itself. You don't you don't see the way other people see. I say that I'm looking through a smeared, broken window pane. You know, I can see, but I can't see. And it's frustrating, and it's hard to explain to somebody because they always say to you things like, you look normal, you know. Well, normal appearance is hurtful to us that have disabilities because it's not a matter of one sees or doesn't see. It's being able to see that, you know, we're dealing with something and being compassionate about that and having an attitude that we're not odd, ignorant, suddenly because I can't see didn't mean I lost all my education or my ability to be a human being. I'm still who I am. And, you know, you get labels put on you when you're blind. But I'm also a wife and a daughter and, like you said, a grief counselor, a friend, a reader, a singer. We love to sing. I'm a resident of Tennessee. I'm a member of my community. So those are all things that I am despite being blind.
That is great. And that's the way I know you, because never give up. And I would like to ask you or make a statement, and if you have to add to it or correct it, please do so. But I do have some other friends from Switzerland way back when who are blind. They first could see and then they went blind. And they went through very, very similar things as you have. And one of their worst encounters with people was, oh, you poor thing, you're blind. Oh, this or that. And they start touching him with kid gloves and make him look and feel frail. And what I know from these friends there, and I'm pretty sure you're the same, that is absolutely not what you are asking for. You want to be treated with love and respect like always. And just get that little extra help, like you're on my 2 o'clock or you're on my 3 o'clock or 9 o'clock or whatever it is, so you can kind of orient where the people are because you can't see them.
Mm-hmm.
And that does not make you any less than who you are. Do you agree with that statement?
I definitely do. I have found that people hear that I'm blind and they suddenly talk louder to me. That doesn't make sense.
You're not
deaf.
That's
the way they react. You know, they'll want to touch you and guide you rather than tell you what's in front of you. And, you know, I don't need somebody to move me. I know how to move. So, yes, it's different things like that. I base a lot of my beliefs and feelings on a saying I heard a long time ago. And it says, I cried because I had no shoes until I saw a man with no feet. And that means so much to me. It tells you that life is full of blessings, but sometimes we're just blind to see them. And, you know, I think all of us are blind to something in the world.
So true. It does not mean that we don't have eyesight. We can be blind otherwise, just like we're deaf quite often. And that's where some very important person once said to many of us, you know what? God gave you 2 ears and only 1 mouth. Listen twice as much as you speak. Watch when you can. Because for you now, the eyes are not there full 100%. However, I believe that your hearing and your sensing things have increased tremendously to make up for the loss of the visual sight. Isn't that correct?
That's very true. You know, I think, though, that people think automatically when you lose your sight that suddenly your hearing, your smell, your you know, taste are suddenly much better. They always say, oh, but you've been compensated by those improving. And it's a matter of training. Like I said, my husband and my son know to walk on that side. It's a matter of paying attention to those other senses more, because we all are visually look toward our vision to get concepts of what's going on in the world. And we have to learn to go past that. So,
awesome. So would you be so kind and mention some of the books that you have written or the titles of it, and what kind of books they are and where they can be purchased? And then after that, I would like you to present your free gift and make the specifications that I was not able to put on my link. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Not sure.
Okay,
but,
let me be specific. Remember,
okay,
you said you're going to give them I Once Was Blind,
mm-hmm,
and I think 50 pages or something, or the Kindle form for 99 cents, and I was not able to put that link in, so it takes them to the 99 cent one. It was $2 and something, and I would appreciate it.
I think I corrected that since you told me that that didn't go through. So I fixed that, and they can get the Kindle version for 99 cents. So,
okay, awesome.
Yeah.
So that is your free gift to everybody,
mm-hmm,
who's listening in. Go to Amazon.com and put in I Once Was Blind by Sherry McGee, and then you can get that Kindle for 99 cents that deals with the I Once Was Blind, what we were just talking about. And you will see other books that she has written too, but just please, Sherry, mention some of them. Just, we have a couple more minutes left, so they know what else they can get on their own if they're interested in, just to follow you a little bit more.
Oh, my goodness. Well, the first book I wrote, and it's rough because it is my first book, but Days in the Desert, we talked about a little bit. That goes through the grieving process. It talks about some of my personal issues. I had a daughter deal with drugs and how my family dealt with that, and then my going into blindness. So it talks about a personal perspective of grief. What makes you afraid is another one, and that's about phobias. I wrote, let's see, you've got me.
What Lies Beneath the Surface, huh?
Yeah, that's Hidden Diseases we talked about a little bit. PTSD, diabetes, fibromyalgia, you know, that's just to name a few. There are so many heart diseases, lung diseases that, you know, I've had people, friends of mine that are disabled, park in a disabled place and get out of the car and have people say, well, you don't look like you're disabled. Why are you parking there? And it talks about those types of things.
Awesome. So most of your books that you've written so far are actually self-help books, correct?
Yes, they all are.
Okay, mm-hmm. Great. Well, we're getting down in time, so I'm just going to give everybody the contact information. If you want to contact Sherry Haymes McGee, her email is eaushery@aol.com. That's osherry@aol.com. And for me, as always, my web is http://www.micklenight.com. That's MICLKNIGHT. My email is dythompson@micklenight.com. My phone number, 562-335-4956, and that's good for texts and emails and whatever you need. And I just want to say thank you so much for being with us, and I want to say thank you very, very much to Sherry for having been here with me and having had a wonderful show together. I really appreciate you and love you with all my heart, Sherry.
Oh,
and so for
too.
Everybody else, thank you. And for everybody else, I'm going to say until next week, stay happy, healthy, blessed, and empowered. And please contact us, Sherry, directly at osherry.com or me at my information. Thank you so much and have a fabulous day.